Les Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. Its 20th edition runs March 1st to 21st in all communities across Canada. The Canadian Foundation for Cross-Cultural Dialogue, in partnership with the National Campus and Community Radio Association, and this station present Les RVF Marathon, which aims to promote language duality in Canada across the country. Stay tuned for this marathon day of 20th Rendez-vous de la Francophonie and visit www.ncra.ca/RVF for more information on this event.
Hello, bonjour, from CFBU 103.7 FM in St. Catharines, Ontario. We are pleased to be part of the 20th anniversary celebration of Rendez-vous de la Francophonie. My name is Deborah, and for the next half hour, we're going to take a closer look at a couple of the community hubs serving the Francophone community here in Niagara, with segments in French and English. Clemence Prod, host of the program Tic Tac on CFBU, is going to join us first to chat with Lucy Ho. Lucy is an enthusiastic advocate and contributor to the local community. Lucy will provide a glimpse into the history of the Francophone community in Welland, Ontario. Joining us from Welland is Alain Breton, who will be providing some insight into one of the service clubs and community hubs in Welland. Club Richelieu celebrated its 60th anniversary last year, and over the years, the club's members have donated more than $1 million to local community groups and nonprofit organizations. Next, we'll chat with Gino Gaynard and Micheline Bellot from Club LaSalle in St. Catharines. Located on beautiful lakefront property here in the city, Club LaSalle is also celebrating a 60th anniversary, having first opened its doors in 1958.
Bonjour, je suis Clemence Prade de Sainte-Catherine dans l'Ontario. Aujourd'hui, je vous amène dans ma région. Un peu plus de 13 100 habitants de la région du Niagara déclarent faire partie de la minorité officielle, c'est-à-dire francophone, soit 3,1% de la population totale. Environ 5 000 parmi eux vivent dans la ville de Welland. Environ 800 à Port Colborne, toutes les deux appartenant aux zones désignées en Ontario pour recevoir des services en français. La plus grande ville du Niagara est Sainte-Catherine, où vivent à peu près 3 000 francophones. Et alors, les femmes francophones du Niagara, comment sont-elles présentes? Eh bien, ce qui frappe chez elles, c'est leur enthousiasme pour leur langue. Elles sont passeuses de culture au pluriel dans une région où la présence francophone est bien ancrée. On écoute Lucie Huot.
L'historique de nos francophones à Welland a débuté dans les années à peu près 1917, quand Empire Mills, que nous autres on considère Wabasso Cotton Mills, a invité des membres de la communauté québécoise à venir s'installer à Welland pour travailler dans les manufactures de coton. Surtout pendant la guerre, parce qu'ils faisaient beaucoup de pansements et de jeans. Alors, il y avait des gens de Saint-Marc-de-Loire, un peu partout au Québec, qui venaient s'installer. Puis quand un membre de la famille s'installait, il y avait des cousins, des frères, des sœurs, des voisins qui venaient s'installer. Il y a eu d'autres gens qui sont venus aussi dans le domaine de construction. Il ne faut pas oublier le canal aussi. Le nouveau qu'on appelle le bypass est le quatrième canal qui a été construit. Et puis, il y a beaucoup de francophones qui se sont déplacés pour venir travailler justement sur ce canal-là pour la construction. Et puis, c'est le canal qui contourne les chutes. Autrement, on ne pourrait pas se déplacer entre le lac Ontario et le lac Erie pour remonter jusqu'au lac supérieur. On avait le fer à Atlas Steels, Union Carbide, John Deere. Beaucoup, beaucoup de grosses industries qui donnaient des salaires pas mal élevés pour toute la région. Les gens se sont formés une famille avec la paroisse Sacré-Cœur qui a aussi vu croissance et naissance à ces moments-là. Et puis, c'est la rue Empire qui a vu la naissance de notre communauté francophone qui est maintenant reconnue comme Frenchtown. C'est une région de la ville de Welland qui est désignée, qui a les enseignes de rue bilingues. C'est quelque chose qui est très point de fierté pour nous autres en tant que communauté francophone. Puis la ville de Welland étant reconnue comme une ville qui a droit au service de langue française, ainsi que Port Colborne. On a 4 paroisses francophones dans la région. On a caisse populaire, on a nos écoles francophones élémentaires, secondaires et même le Collège Boréal qui s'est installé sur les lieux du Collège Niagara maintenant. Les services que nous avons dans la région nous permettent d'avoir des soins de santé à partir du centre de santé communautaire Hamilton Niagara. Nous avons des loisirs, entre autres le Cinéfest Niagara. C'est un petit groupe de francophones et francophiles qui ont fait en sorte de créer cet environnement dans un théâtre de la ville de Welland où on peut aller écouter toutes sortes de films de renommée mondiale. Il y a une liste d'attente de 800 personnes qui veulent être membres du Cinéfest. Une fois par année aussi, ils ont le festival du film de Cinéfest Niagara.
Joining me today is Alain Breton from Welland. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Can you tell me a little bit about the Francophone community in Welland? It's been very vibrant for a number of years.
Population-wise, I think we're close to over 20% of the population is French-speaking. We have several schools. We have 2 high schools, 4 elementary schools. A lot of Francophone French businesses operate here in the city. So it's still a very vibrant group. They're very active, very vibrant community.
There are communities in St. Catharines and in Niagara Falls, but Welland is the one that people seem to hear about the most. Why do you think it is so cohesive and vibrant?
That's a good question. I think it's all related to the things that we do. Club Richelieu being probably the belly button of that community.
With a club like yours, Club Richelieu, which is a service club, over a period of years, it winds up becoming like a cultural hub. So can you walk us through the history of the club and how it came to Welland?
First of all, the whole movement originated in 1944 in Ottawa and then spread out throughout mostly Quebec, Maritimes. There was a lot of French-speaking communities. And then, of course, in Ontario, it spread. Club Richelieu in Welland originated in 1957. And we still have original members that were part of the first group that are still active in our club. Club Richelieu in Welland is probably one of the bigger clubs. We own and operate 3 buildings that are in the health care. One is La Résidence Richelieu, which is an old folks' home. And then we own and operate Foyer Richelieu, which is an old folks' home as well. But those residents need medical attention. And then we also own a building on River Road, which is used as our headquarters. We have our meetings there. You rent out the place. If you look at the old international picture, we're probably one of the best placed clubs.
And when the club was first developed back in the 1940s, what was the aim or mandate of the club?
It was a language situation to maintain the French culture, the French language. In Quebec, it's pretty obvious, but in other areas, the Maritimes, and particularly in Ontario, it's not as obvious. So to keep the French culture and the French language. Secondly, to help unfortunate children. So whether they need medical help or any kind of support. The third one is it's developing your personality through helping people.
Back in the 1950s, when your local club was started, and I'm also thinking of other clubs like Club LaSalle or Club Social. When they originally were formed, the times were different in terms of people's approach and perception to bilingualism and the Francophone community in particular. There was discrimination against Francophones. We've heard some stories of things that happened in Welland. So having those clubs back in those early days, as opposed to now when things have changed a little bit, would it have been a place where people could freely express who they are culturally?
Yeah, I think the church, the Sacré-Cœur Church, the French-speaking parish, was very instrumental in developing that and encouraging people to keep their culture, to keep their language, along with the schools that started at that time. There weren't Catholic schools, they were all public schools, but had French-speaking teachers and French curriculum. They were both instrumental in encouraging people to maintain their language and maintain their culture.
Now, over the years, there have been quite a few events at your facilities. Can you tell us about some of the more interesting and larger ones that were really important for the Francophone community?
One and foremost is the Welland Food Drive. Everything sort of gravitates towards the Club Richelieu on River Road. There's not one single activity that mobilizes the whole city of Welland like the food drive. And Club Richelieu is the main area where they drop off food, where the people leave to go on the routes and come back with food collected from people's doorsteps. Then we serve a meal. We have two big fundraisers that we use to raise money to give back to the community. And both those raise close to $15,000 to $20,000 for one event. And that's redistributed back in the community through bursaries for schools. We even have Brock University, the French department, we give a bursary, two bursaries, I believe, to the graduates who are in the French program. We have four meals that we prepare for Open Arms Mission, and that's all prepared at the club and delivered to Open Arms Mission here in Welland. We do the same thing for Hope Center and Salvation Army. We donate the hall to Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. They spend the weekend there. There's a camping atmosphere that they use at our facilities. We host as well the Winter Carnival. We rent a sled with horses, and the kids go around. We have a Bonhomme Carnaval. We serve toffee. We have games, ball hockey games, toboggan rides, a very great breakfast, the beans and bacon. So it's a very, very popular activity, especially for family-oriented. We have a big stage. We used to have Saint Jean Baptiste, so we used to have music for that. We have a lot of bands that play there. The schools are regularly renting where they can have year-end activities for the students. Most schools take advantage of that, particularly the high schools, the two that I mentioned, Confederation and Jean Vanier, and the elementary schools as well. They used to have graduations in an outdoor setting, which is quite unique.
We've seen legions and different types of clubs actually shut down their venues because of lack of dollars, basically. So it must be a challenge to keep an organization like you're going, especially for 60 years.
That's a good point. I know of several members who used to be in other service clubs, and they closed down because they don't have the membership, and they joined Club Richelieu, which is another reason why we have so many members.
And from your perspective, from education and your other involvements, when you look at Welland as a community and the Francophone community in Welland, if people are new to the community, where are the places that they can get involved with other activities in French or in the Francophone community?
Mm-hmm. Well, Centre de Santé Communautaire, Club Social, it's a Francophone setting where people can congregate for meals or meetings or social activities. The church is still very, very active, has monthly lunches or monthly meals for people who want to take advantage of that.
In general, nonprofit organizations these days are finding difficulty getting volunteers, and especially younger people, hard to get people out. Is that a concern for you going forward? Because
sure, it's an ongoing thing. I'm in charge of recruiting new members, and I must say this year, we've added at least 9 new members who are in their late 20s, early 30s, which I consider that young. We have to keep going forward with that. The membership is getting older, so we need to have people replace those members. It's an ongoing thing. That's why we have so many activities to keep members involved.
If you had one wish for the club or the clubs in general, what would it be?
Certainly to fight to keep our language and our culture, particularly in this part of the country, being more Anglophone than the Quebec or the Maritimes. So it's to keep, to be proud to be a Francophone and to maintain the culture and the language.
Thank you so much for joining us. Joining us in the studio is Gino Guénard, the president of Club LaSalle in St. Catharines, and Micheline Bellot, the secretary. Thanks so much for joining us. Club LaSalle has been located in St. Catharines for quite a number of years. They've had quite a few anniversaries. Can you tell us a little bit about how the club got started?
The club was founded back in 1957 in a small basement club on St. Paul Street until they decided one day they wanted something a little bit bigger, and they moved to the Embassy Hotel. So they stayed there for quite a few years, and then they inquired about a property by the lake, and it was at the end of Arthur. They looked into buying it, but they didn't have enough money, but they had quite a few members. So they got together and they figured out a way to purchase the property. And it said $500 per family, and some families gave up to $1,000, 35 families. I think it was bought in 1968. So we've been there since. We have quite a big property there, that the nice lakefront that we have, and it's a beautiful place. We did have a campground back in the 80s. There was a lot of families that were out there camping. Everybody loves coming down into the club and enjoying the view, especially the sunsets.
Prior to you actually looking for club space, what was the idea behind the club?
The way it started was there was a lot of Francophone people that were actually starting to establish themselves in the area and getting together, and the idea came through, and I think they just decided, yeah, let's apply for it. And that was back in 57.
And what do you think their goal was at the time with that club?
I think just gathering the families together and then practicing their heritage, because there was a lot of new families that were establishing themselves in the Niagara Peninsula. Back in the day, the French people, just like all the other nationalities, felt like they had to stick together. Maybe they had problems with the language a little bit, with the English language. So they figured, let's start a club. And it was somewhere where they gathered on the weekends and they felt like they're probably back home or felt a little bit happier. Somewhere to go, somewhere to celebrate.
And in those days, just like now, with people's views about immigration and people who are different, I'm assuming that some Francophones experienced discrimination.
Yeah, I think at that time, it was probably a safe place to be and happier environment. So they didn't feel like they're having such a hard time, because looking back at my dad, when he first came to St. Catharines, it was the same thing. He had such a hard time with the language, just learning the English. And this was kind of like a relief. You know, there was somewhere to go that he can just be himself and not have to worry about language barrier at that point. Back in those years, a lot of them didn't have the education to learn the English language, so they had a hard time.
The social aspect of the club, how do you think that's changed over the years?
It's evolved, like every other club that we have in St. Catharines. The young generation, they don't necessarily stay with their own people, so we try to keep the club as active as possible, and even though if partners are not French, we try to bring them back and encourage them to learn the French language. Anybody's welcome to come and be either members or just be part of our occasions that we have or participate with all the events that we do have or that we try to host. We do English and French at the club so that we don't leave nobody out.
Over the years, there must have been some amazing music that has come through Club LaSalle.
Our Acadian Festival used to be back in August 15th, so we did have, at one time or another, a big group of Acadian French people that used to practice at the Club LaSalle, so we had big, big gatherings there, especially in the picnic area. We used to have Lobster Fest just to celebrate the Acadian Festival. Thank you. I remember when my dad used to bring me there when I was just a little boy, so those memories never left me. Winter Carnival was a good one that everybody went to. Toffee on the snow, the Bonhomme Carnaval, he comes out, and the kids really enjoy that. So that's one thing we try to keep going for the kids and families. Our best event of the year is our steak and lobster, and it's very popular. And it brings out everybody. It's not just the French community. We have Anglophones. We have everybody.
Also joining us is Micheline Bello. She's the secretary of Club LaSalle here in St. Catharines. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Can you tell me a little bit about your first exposure to Club LaSalle? I believe that you actually came from Port Colborne, which has its own Francophone community.
Yes, I'm born and raised in Port Colborne, and my husband and I both work out of St. Catharines, and we decided to put our kids in French schools here in St. Catharines. It was much easier for us. My roots are from France, actually. My mom and dad were both French, and my husband just felt that it would be nice for the kids to be bilingual, so we continued here. The first time I was introduced to Club LaSalle is because I said I would love to have a place to be able to do a fundraiser. My daughter was able to go to Ecuador for the Pan Ams, and they suggested Club LaSalle. And they were very gracious in helping us out. I really thought it was a great club. The people were so giving and so loving, and the facility was just absolutely fantastic. So I never left because it's great. And my kids are very much involved in that as well. My husband too. We enjoy it.
And do you see it as being a cultural hub for the Francophone community locally?
Oh gosh, yes, definitely. They have the folk arts, and we have Sœur Gisèle that comes in there, and she's been doing that for like 20, I believe this year will be her 28th year that she has been doing the folk arts. We have French schools doing their music and everything else, other schools doing the dance. The meat pies are made, sugar pies, different types of food that relate to the French-Canadian background. It's actually a great, great day. We see over 400 people that come through there. Some of the ambassadors that all come through, and they get to try our foods as our ambassador goes to their club. It's a really nice day. We also have Noël des Petits. The club will make sure Santa comes and visit the kids, brings their little gifts. And so there's crafts that are being done. French music is being played. The carnival, the snow toffee. All the kids just totally love that, the face painting. So we try to involve all ages. One of our steak and lobster events that we have people that come out and they totally enjoy it. Well, I know with my girls, they have learned a lot. My girls will be helping. They'll do different things, you know, to take part of it. And afterwards, they'll dance.
I know that sometimes with clubs like this, people as they get older and their own family kind of moves away or passes away, that for some of these people, the club is their family. Do you have situations like that with some of your older members who come to rely on the club?
Yes, we have that every Thursday night. We have our open mic, and everybody is welcome to come. People go up, and they introduce what they know. It could be harmonicas, they could be the fiddler, it could be people that sing French, English, whatever. And they all come out and totally mingle with those who are there. They've made friends. They also have, you know, some nights they'll have potluck. And everybody comes. They bring a little dish that they do. So we have people that come from all nationalities and love coming on Thursday nights. We have sometimes 100 people. And in the wintertime, we have people from Hamilton that come. They will come on a regular basis and be part of our group. And they look forward to whatever events that we may have, and they participate. I find for myself, I totally enjoy the people. You make friends with them. You know that if you need anything, you can ask them, and they'll be there for you.
If someone wanted to find out more about the club, about your facilities, the activities, how would they go about doing that?
Well, we've created a website. All they have to do is just Google Club LaSalle, and it'll give you a little bit of what we do. We're on the beach. We have a beautiful hall. We offer it for many different things. Like we have the Animal Association that comes in for their fundraisers and stuff that they do. We have comedy night, people performing, so many different things it's been used for. Funerals for wakes and things. So we welcome anybody to come to our facility, and we hope that they would appreciate what we appreciate because we bring our families there. So we hope that they would bring theirs and enjoy it as much as us. We've been there for 60 years. I think we're pretty proud that, you know what, we've been there for 60 years, and it's because of people being friendly, being like family and enjoying what we have and wanting to be part of it. And we hope that it'll be there again for another 60 years or longer. So come and be part of us.
Thank you for speaking with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Joining us for this marathon day of the 20th Rendezvous de la Francophonie, presented by the Canadian Foundation for Cross-Cultural Dialogue, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, and this station. For more information on les Rendezvous de la Francophonie events, or to provide feedback on the show, visit www.rvf.ca.